those who are responsible for the offering, you can light the candle, light the incense. You all can come forward. Yeah? Those who are making the offering, who are they? Just come forward. Yeah? Don't worry. Yeah. Come. Just go and light. Yeah. Where's the lighter? Suyan, here, lighter. Where's the lighter? Okay. You can rejoice with the offering, huh? And the wholesomeness. Like, come, jinga, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Make the offering of the tray. The rest can stand up. Take the tray and offer. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Oh, very good. Today, a lot of fruits. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And before New Year, you got online. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. The pineapple from Qingyao symbolizes Chinese New Year. Ong. Online, double on, sadhu, 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 sadhu. Then we got the lotus candle. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. The flower, the flower. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 We should rejoice, because today is like the Thursday class before Chinese New Year. So normal people call it Sao Gong Zhao. So we had a very good puja. Today, I think a lot of people make it a point to bring offering. It's good. It's very wholesome. We should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Rejoicing has a lot of advantage. Not only is meritorious, it opens up your heart. Then you can rejoice in many things. In the generosity, in all the offering, in all the wholesomeness, in whatever goodness that you can appreciate, see, and rejoice in. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. When you are able to rejoice until it becomes a part of you, then your envy and jealousy all slowly will disappear, because you will rejoice in whatever goodness and wholesomeness that you see. Sadhu, sadhu. You learn to rejoice in goodness, wholesomeness. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. When you see people do, you also will do. That's how this quality of mind, they call mudita, which is rejoicing, can be very, very powerful and very meaningful. Okay, thank you so much. We can start our chanting. We will pay homage to the Buddha. Buddhang pacemi. Dhammang pacemi. Sanghang pacemi. Okay, let us all be seated. Turn to page 4, we will start the official puja. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadatthana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, we will chant the puja offering, padipa puja. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadang sena diloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sabbarayutena dupena dhang sukang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana muttamang vanna ganda gono petang เอตังกสุมาสันตทินปูเจยามิมุนินดาสสิริปารสโรโรเหปูเจมิบุตังกสุเมนาเนนาปุเนนะมะเตนะจะโหตุโมคังปุปังมิลายติยัตตาอิตังเมกายวตัทวายติวินาสบาวัมอดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปนิยังปริคาปิตังอนุกัมปังอุปาทายะปฏิกังหาตุมัตตมาเคตันตุ page 18นะ the last page we will recite the aspiration raising on the significance of all this offering significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma.That cools and doses of the fire of all defilement within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits.May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flower. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One.Strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of this merits born of this offering,May our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who had the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu.Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will end the puja by paying respect mindfully to Sakyamuni Buddha. Yeah, we should rejoice with the offering of garland by PG. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. This one is the jasmine flower garland. Very nice. So we learn to rejoice. Rejoicing is Like there is a type of joy that arises through understanding that these are very wholesome. Yeah? So when you can rejoice in the wholesomeness of what you do, when you can rejoice in the wholesomeness of what people do, your heart will open up. Then it is one of the four Brahma Vihara, the beautiful mind states of a Brahma. Then it also brings about a type of merits. It constitutes one of the 10 meritorious actions, rejoicing. As I learn how to rejoice and have more and more of this happy mind state, that is constantly able to rejoice in whatever wholesomeness and goodness that you can see happening everywhere. And sometimes with your own wholesomeness too, you rejoice with whatever that you have cultivated and developed. Then you can evoke the power of this wholesomeness to help you realize whatever aspiration or pure wish that you want. So all these are very wholesome. Then also it brings forth the condition maybe to let you all know. This Sunday, SJBA, I will be giving a talk. It's about celebrating Chinese New Year, following the Dhamma way. So how you can develop the understanding of how this Dhamma can be made use of, so that you can celebrate Chinese New Year that has been all the while very traditional to you, following the Dhamma that you have understood or cultivated. And it can be very beautiful. Because Chinese New Year is, like you all know, an occasion for joy and all those things. And this is one of the rejoicing mind that you must have. Mudita. But most of the time, what happened could be otherwise. Before you go back, maybe there's a lot of joy. Looking forward to the Chinese New Year. Then when you're driving halfway, you somehow condition not too good, you become frustrated. Then your mind become different again. Then you get yourself entangled unnecessarily. Then when you reach home, instead of rejoicing and be happy about the occasion, you become heedless again. You end up maybe quarreling or arguing. Then when you hear some not so good news or what, you also can be affected. That's why without Dhamma, without heedfulness, your life not guaranteed you can be happy. Although you may like want it very badly to have a very good Chinese New Year. And during Chinese New Year, we have a lot of these New Year greetings. Then exchange of gift and all those things. Then we wish people with a lot of what they call happy greetings. Then we wish people good health and all those things. But when we know the Dhamma, wishing is just a small part. It may not materialize. For your wish to come true, for it to materialize, you need to have merits, you need to have parami, you need to have your good karma to receive them. So all this is part and parcel of Dhamma. So those who want to understand more, this Sunday, try to make time. Then this Friday, tomorrow, Klang Talk is different. They choose another title. They talk about spiritual cultivation. Then the second part is, they didn't say Chinese New Year, they say New Year aspiration. So spiritual cultivation and New Year aspiration. I also don't know what that title means. So when I reach there tomorrow, I ask them, why you choose this title? Yeah, when you talk about spiritual cultivation, you develop spiritual understanding in it. Then that can allow you to understand life, live life, and become beautiful. But then they want to link it to New Year aspiration, or you commonly call it New Year resolution, I think. There could be a linkage there, but spiritual cultivation has deeper meaning, and it is very profound. So when you have the spiritual understanding born of the spiritual cultivation, you not only can make New Year resolution, every day can be your lucky day. You don't have to wait for Choya Sam or the Lok Le Tong Su. Oh, this today is very lucky, the energy, the chi are really good. But you don't take care of karma. No matter how good that day is, your whatever life happening is still due to your karma. Like the Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, head of our karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. So this is just to share with you some very important understanding of Dhamma, so that you don't become rigid in your approach, so that all the commonly accepted traditional rites and ritual no longer has power over you. Understand? The message is for you to have a clear understanding that ultimately it's not all those feng shui or whatever, it's your karma. That's why take care of karma. Karma take care of your life. Feng shui and all those other life related things, they have their basis, but they doesn't impact so much on your life. If you know how to make use of them, it can help out in certain occasion, but it's another understanding, another way to make use of your good merits and all those things. So you cannot rely on all this, because all this feng shui thing, or they are not the real thing. The real thing that makes a big difference to your life is karma. Karma means what? How you live your life. How you can develop the understanding to follow the advice of the Buddha. You have to avoid all evil. All evil. Otherwise you will receive the fruition of whatever action and speech or thought process that you arise. Then after you avoid all evil, you must train your mind to be ever mindful, and the four right effort to ever purify your action, speech and thought, and develop whatever wholesomeness that is still not in you, then to refine upon it. Then finally, you still need to meditate, because karma alone is not enough. Karma alone, if you take care very well, you are able to develop proper understanding and bring about good karma. It will give you a lot of merits and blessings. Then it can bring forth good condition for you to have good life. But as you go through life, you need to confront the first noble truth reality of birth, old age, sickness and death, separation from loved ones and your whatever prized possession. You have to confront situations that are not so favorable, like when you are with people whom you don't like, when you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, when expectations are not met. So all this can bring about a lot of suffering. So this one, merits cannot help you. You can be very wealthy, very, what they call, prosperous, hold a very high position in life, and have a lot of merits and blessings. But when you confront this reality, none of all this can help you. Maybe they can be of certain assistance to you, but it cannot help you to liberate your mind. That one, you need wisdom. You must meditate to understand clearly the law that governs life and existence. Then through this understanding, your mind is no longer deluded by what you perceive, experience, and come to know in life. Then the whole of life can be understood clearly, the whole of the phenomenal world, world of consciousness, can be clearly understood. Then through that clear understanding, without delusion, you are not deceived and deluded by whatever that manifests within your own consciousness, the form of mind. That's how you liberate your mind. When your mind has the wisdom, it can go above all this. It will no longer be deluded by it. That's why it will not be entangled anymore. And there is no more delusion that can condition you to grasp, cling and hold. Then your mind state is always beautiful. Then there is no more suffering, no more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety, no more sorrow and lamentation, no more sadness. There is only peace, happiness and joy. So this meditation that we are learning here is to give rise to this type of wisdom. So life can be pretty challenging and pretty difficult or tough if you don't have wisdom. But when you have wisdom, life becomes beautiful, yeah, and meaningful. Okay, we will start our meditation now. For those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away start. Then we can off the light. Oh, somebody there. You meditate before? Oh no, very good. Clean slate, very easy to learn. Okay, I will try to give you a book later on that explain what meditation is. Okay, for those who already know how to meditate, you can start. Then for her, I will just give some instruction for you to learn how to meditate and train your mind. Then later on, I will explain a little bit of the theory behind. Our mind, we need to train it, just like the dog. You happen to come across what they call having a pet, like a dog. You will come to understand that this dog, when it's new, it doesn't listen to you. You got to train the dog. And not easy to train the dog. But your mind is equally difficult to train. Sometimes it's worse than the dog. That dog, at least you want to eat food. You say, sit, sit. After a few times, maybe he will sit because he see in your hand some food for him. But the mind cannot see. So to train the mind in a way is different from training the dog. So I will teach you some skillful means. For those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away start. For those who are new, who still need instruction, so I will give you some understanding of it. You just relax body and mind. Make sure completely relaxed. Relax means no more suffering, no more problem, no more thinking. You just like, at this moment, I'm here to meditate. I'm here to train my mind to make it peaceful and calm so that I can recuperate from my tired day. I can rest my body. So just silence everything, relax. Then whatever thought that want to come and disturb you, you just tell the mind, not now. After the meditation, I will deal with all this. At the moment, I just want to settle down. I just want to relax body and mind and maintain some form of mental training. So that I can be peaceful and calm. So that this mind can have clarity to allow me to have a good understanding of what this mind is all about. So relax body and mind. Make sure you have a stable posture. Check your backbone. Make sure it's straight. Then just breathe in and breathe out naturally. Body and mind completely relax. Then you close your eye. Then you maintain attention at your forehead. What I'm teaching you is the mind sweeping method, a skillful means to make your mind peaceful, to decondition your heedless thinking, to make your mind more focused, So you silence everything, close your eye, then maintain attention at your forehead. Then just feel, don't think, just feel. If there's any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just relax, relax and relax. Feel it soothingly relax. Then you move the attention of your mind down to your facial muscle. Before that, you can actually feel your eye muscle too. You check your eye muscle. If there's any tension, any tightness or any stress with it, relax it, feel it soothingly, relax. Then you move on to your facial muscle. Feel every strand of it within your facial muscle. Feel it soothingly, relax. Relax every part. Then to assist you to relax, you can make use of another skillful means. You can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, you are happy. Your mind state is relaxed. That's why the facial muscle will relax naturally on its own. Then you can radiate love and metta to yourself. Because when we do this mind sweeping method, your mind will become more calm, more peaceful. You will have inner peace. But there is no inner well-being. That's why we use metta or loving kindness meditation to help to bring about inner well-being. So you can read it following what I said. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. When you recite may I, you feel your body and mind. May I, this body and mind of mine, feel it, be well and happy. Feel the entire body and mind having this well-being and happiness. Each and every cell within, feel it. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Feel it. No physical suffering, no mental suffering. Means you are at ease. May it too be free from all harm and danger. May it be well and happy always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then we can relate this same method to your loved one, somebody you love. It can be your mother, your father, or your loved ones, your spouse, your children, or good friend, brothers and sisters, colleague, somebody that you really, really love and care for. May my loved ones too be well and happy, well and happy. You can visualize them. Then you can radiate this love from your heart towards them. Feel the well-being and happiness within them. May my loved ones too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they too be free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can radiate the same metta to all beings. May all beings within this vicinity of Subhangjaya and all Kayanamitas or Dhamma friends, fellow meditator, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May their mind states too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May their body and mind too be free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within the hearts. Then may all beings within the whole of Subangjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, our solar system, then our galaxy, Milky Way, and the entire universe, may all beings within the entire existence, may they all too be well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can come back to your facial muscle. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. You just feel your facial muscle. Because of that mind that is being trained, you will feel that they are very different now. They are more serene, more calm, more relaxed. Then you move your attention down to your neck, feel relaxed. Shoulder, feel relaxed. Then you move to your arm, hand, feel relaxed. Back to shoulder, feel relaxed. Then you move your attention down to your heart area or chest area. You just feel, silence your mind and just feel. You can detect any vibration or your heartbeat. Then you just silence everything and just stay there. Maintain awareness. If you are new, you have not trained your mind, chances are you can't. Then what you do is you just relax body and mind, just like you relax your forehead. You feel your heart area. Feel it soothingly relax, relax and relax every part within. Then move the attention down to your stomach. Do the same, feel, relax, don't think. Then you move it down to your abdomen, silent, feel, relax. Then your buttock, do the same, feel, relax. Then your leg, feel, relax. Then you can reverse the whole of this mind sweeping method. From your leg, you feel, relax, buttock, feel, relax. Then you bring it up to your abdomen, feel, relax. Stomach, feel, relax. Then your heart area, silent everything and just feel. Then relax into it. Then move up to your shoulder, hand back to shoulder, neck, relax everything. Just feel and relax, don't think. Then move it up to your facial muscle. Silence everything and feel. Then relax them all. Eye muscle, do the same. Then forehead. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Now I will teach you another skillful means to stabilize this calmness, this state of mind that we call silence or aware. We have to stabilize the awareness, the peaceful mind, the calm mind that doesn't think. You need to anchor this mind to something and maintain mindfulness over that object of meditation. The Buddha has recommended our breathing. He called it anapanasati. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So we need to train this mind to develop anapanasati, or mindfulness of just the in and out breath. Very simple. Like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing. Maintain attention in front of your nostril. Feel. When you detect your breathing, then like the Buddha said, breathing in, away. Breathing out, away. The mind and the breath move as one without thought, in perfect harmony and synchrony. That is what sati is all about. No thought, just aware. Every time this mind wanders off, be patient. Just bring it back to the breathing. Maintain awareness in front of your nostril and maintain that training. Expect the mind to wander off many, many times. Maintain patience every time it wanders off. Maintain attention and bring it back to the breathing. This is what they call training of the mind to be aware of the in and out breath, developing anapanasati. So if you are patient, not long, the mind will settle down. And when mindfulness of in and out breath become more and more continuous, you will come to realize that there is no thought. There is only a type of peace that will dawn upon you. And this peace, born of a trained mind in sati or mindfulness, is called piti. Piti is a spiritual joy or spiritual calmness. It will come. And when it arises, you will feel very good. You will like to meditate. That's why you just train. This anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. I will leave it to you to develop the training of the mind, to be mindful. Then as this piti develops, there will be a lot of spiritual joy within. Then you continue to relax into it, silent everything. The piti can transform into another mind state that is more refined. The Buddha call it sukha. Sukha is spiritual bliss, a very blissful state. When there is sukha, your mind will be very different. It will start to experience the very blissful state within. There will be a lot of ecstasy within your mind state. Then you will like to meditate. But do not attach to this state, because this is a very gullible state and most meditators can get attached to it. So what you should do is you continue to be mindful, to be aware, to just relax into it. Then allow that bliss to actually continue until it is very, very quiet, very peaceful, and very still. Then the mind will accumulate into another state, which is pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the silent mind, or the meditative mind. So meditation is to train your mind until it can realize this pasati, or the stillness of mind, tranquility of mind, where the mind can just stay silent on its own without anything to anchor it or dwell on it. Means the mind is already peaceful, calm, relaxed, and just aware within. Okay, I will leave it to you to meditate. Then after that, in about maybe 15 minutes time, I will ring the bell. And for those who wants to meditate, you can continue. For those who have had now, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Always remember, whatever mind state that you have trained or developed, whatever inner peace, inner calmness, inner mindfulness, try to maintain them for as long as you can. Even when you come out of meditation, develop the awareness of it, the mindfulness of it, all of the movement activity, even the movement of your hand, your bodily movement, including the blinking of your eye, everything, all of the action and movement within. Maintain awareness, your stretching and whatever. This is the mind state that you need to develop in your daily life. The real meditation is after you have trained your mind, stabilize this mindfulness, then use it to cultivate the wisdom needed to liberate your mind in life itself. The Buddha called it Sati Sampajana, or daily mindfulness cultivation. Okay, we will continue with the chanting. We will do the invocation of the devas. Turn to page 6. I will read the English translation. Invocation to the devas. In the universe, in their entirety, let the deities or deva come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Okay. It's Engbirao. You can start now. Pali.
Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sadhammang Muni Rajas Sunantu Saggamokkhadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang buddho O Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditat Bhuvino Hiti Supatipanno bhagavato savakasango Ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasango ยายาปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสามีจิปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆยะติดังจัตตาริปุริสยุคคานิอัตตปุริสปุกาลาเอสาภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอะหุนิโยปะหุนิโยดักขิเนโยอัญจะลิกะระณิโยอนุตตรังปุญญะเกตังโลกัสสาติสาธุสาธุสาธุ Okay, let's pay respect to the Buddha mindfully. Buddha Pujabi Dhamma Pujabi.สังฆังปุจเจมิโอเคJust relax yourself. Then we will continue with our second session. Second session is meditation reporting, followed by Q&A. Then you can ask any question that is related to the meditation or the teaching, or how you apply this teaching and meditation that you have learned to help you to develop the meditation and to understand life and to live life.You can ask. Okay. We open it up to all. Anybody wants to report their meditation tonight? Or ask any question? Next time, I suggest you write down. You submit the questionnaire here easier. Otherwise, you're very, like, scared to ask. Only a few every time. Is she your friend? Oh, good. Oh, classmate, very good. Sadhu. She knows anything about the Dhamma, not the teaching. Buddhist teaching. Oh, you went to LGBA once. You don't know much about the teaching. The Buddhist teaching. Not really, huh?They were Buddhist or Taoist. Oh, very good.
Sorry.
They go to temple every Saturday, but you never follow them. Which temple do they go? Chinese temple? Oh, you didn't ask. Yeah, the Buddhist temple, there are many types. They have the Sri Lankan type. There's another one which is Tibetan. Then there's another one they call Mahayana, means traditional Chinese temple. And the traditional Chinese temple Mahayana got two types. One is where you see people like going to the temple to make offering and prayer. The other one is more towards the meditation.Meditation training, which is the true authentic Mahayana temple, where they really cultivate and develop the understanding of the teaching. The other one also they do, but they more focus on the public's need. And some are very traditional Chinese temple, like they call Guan Yin Ting, Guan Yin Ting. Then some is dainty one, like Jie Gong, or even Guan Gong. These are all the various type of Chinese temple. These are smaller version. It depends on your karma and your affinity. That's why different people are different. You end up in different places. Some are non-believer. They call one atheist. Is it atheist? The word who don't believe in religion. Then some call themselves free thinker. Means they are open to anything. Maybe for your case, this will help you. Because this Buddhist teaching is very unique. The Buddha discovered it after he became fully enlightened. It's just like explaining to you what life is all about. After you have gone through life for so many years. But do you really know and understand life? What is life? So the Buddha summarized all of life beautifully into just four simple truths. He called it the Four Noble Truths. You heard of this Four Noble Truths? Oh heaven, oh, this will help you a lot. You see, all of life, the Buddha said, you can just summarize that into four simple truths, which he called Noble Truths. Noble in the sense that if you understand them, you can become noble ones. You know, noble ones are very noble in every aspect of their life. Like their understanding of life. They will understand the nature's law that governs life and existence. Then they have very noble speech. The way they live their life, they are very noble in all the things they do, their actions. Then they are very noble in the way they carry themselves when they speak, when they express themselves, when they communicate. So they call it, they have right thought, right speech, right action that is in accordance. You can off that, push it down. Thank you. In the olden days, during the Buddha's time, noble ones are also called enlightened ones. Only enlightened beings can have these noble qualities of right understanding. All of nature's law that governs life and existence, they understand. Then they are very noble in the way they carry themselves, their speech, their action, their livelihood, and the way they arise their thought. Then how they live their life too. They are very noble in every aspect. Then they have this what they call constant right effort to purify their thoughts, to develop more and more wholesomeness and goodness. And they are incapable of evil. And their mind, they have trained it so well. They are all the time very calm, very peaceful, very heedful. They are no longer heedless. Their mind are not like ordinary people's mind. Very heedless, think a lot, worry a lot. Has a lot of problems. They call it the problems of life. And the Buddha call it human suffering. So this is where the noble ones differ from the heedless, deluded one. Ignorant people who don't understand the truth. So this Four Noble Truths is very simple. The Buddha say the whole of life, they can be summarized just like that. The first Noble Truth, he talks about life's reality. If we live life, he say, if you go through life, you will have to confront all these realities. And this reality described to you almost the full range of life activity that human beings are going through. All of the mundane aspect of life. So he said, these are realities of life and existence. If you live long enough, you will have to confront them. And when you confront them without wisdom, the Buddha said, you will have a lot of suffering, a lot of misery. So this is called the first noble truth of suffering. But he never said life is suffering. He said there is a noble truth that describes to you clearly prevalence of suffering. Suffering is everywhere when you don't have the understanding. And what are the things that leads to suffering, the Buddha said? The first four is very common. Human beings need to confront, is it? You have to confront birth. Birth of a newborn child. Birth of a new life when you come to this world. Then the Buddha said, with birth, the next three will follow. You will go through old age, sickness and death. And old age, sickness and death are something not easy to confront. Especially sickness and death. But old age, maybe when we are young, before we hit 50, to you like, it's not your problem yet. Because you are still healthy, don't have much problem. But as you hit 50, then you start to come to a new awakening or realization in inverted comma. Not the enlightenment time. You come to awaken to your own physical body's reality. As you grow old, go through old age, what happened to you? Your senses start to fail you, the Buddha said. Then you start to have a lot of problem, disease, sickness and all those things. Then you go and do your blood test, cholesterol problem, diabetic problem. Then all sorts of funny problems. Then the worst is, all of a sudden they tell you, these are symptoms of certain disease. Then they say they need to do a biopsy to confirm it. Then all the blue, they come back, they say positive. You got cancer, what stage? You panic. Then sometimes they go and do certain tests. You got HIV and all those things. So this can be very traumatic when you confront them. So getting old is not easy. You look at your parents, your grandparents. You look at the people who are old. You got problem like Alzheimer. Then you got problem like vision problem, rheumatism, here ache, there ache. Then this part not working, that part not working. Then the worst is stroke, heart attack. So all sorts of problems. So the Buddha said, these are realities of life. It happens to everybody who lives long enough. Depend on your karma, it will hit you. So when you are confronted with all this happening, this reality, are you still able to maintain that happiness, that joy and the peace and the understanding of life? Or will you be afflicted? Or will you arise the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the sorrow and the lamentation? Then what about death? Living beings who don't understand life, they worry about dying. The worst is they don't even know how to live. And when you don't know how to live, that's why you worry about dying. If you know how to live, you will know how to die. But when you don't know how to live, you will worry about dying because you don't know who died, what died, after death, what happened. Then you hear a lot of story. You do a lot of evil, you go down to hell. Then you suffer eternal hell. The Christian tell you, non-believer, eternal hell. So you want to place, say, you say, okay, baptize me before I die. Eternal heaven, promise. But then, the moment the breath stop, where you go, you don't know. They only promise you when you're alive. But after death, they never promise anything. So you don't know where you end up. That's why before death, there is so much fear, so much worry, so much anxiety. And human beings got so much attachment to the world. While living, they got no peace. When they're about to die, they also equally not peaceful. They worry about their children, what happened to them, their wife, their grandchildren, their spouse, and also, then their property, what will happen? Then their inheritance, how can they assure that it will be passed down properly? Then some even worry, oh, you haven't done up my will. So all these are the realities. Then like the Buddha said, wherever there is birth, always sickness and death will follow. So as a human being, if you don't develop the wisdom to understand all this reality, when you confront them without understanding, suffering will arise. So this one is very common. And human beings find it so difficult to cope. That's why life has a lot of challenges, isn't it? You don't worry, no need to remember anything, because that book that I told you going to come out of the Chinese New Year, the talk that I gave at the World Buddhist Conference in the year 2013, August, that book is very useful. It explains very clearly everything that you need to know about life. It's understanding life, following the Dhamma way. So when you understand life, you know how to live. And the Buddha has actually, through his great wisdom, summarized to us all of life very clearly. He said not only this four reality of birth, always sickness and death that you have to confront. When you go out to work, he said, when you go out and live your life as an individual, you have to confront many other realities, he said. The fifth one is equally traumatic. He said, you will confront separation from your loved ones and your choice possession or belonging, your wealth, your property, your business and all those things. They will separate from you. Either you go first or they go first. When conditions are no longer conducive, then separation will happen. And separation can happen in many, many ways, the Buddha said. The first, most common one is death. Due to death, separation takes place. Death can happen in many ways. When you are young, it happened too. Like nature's disaster. Then this year and last year, you take aeroplane also not safe. Everywhere plane went missing and a lot of casualty. Then earthquake, tsunami, building collapse, flood, road accident, snatch thief, they can bring about death. So this type of separation can be very traumatic because sometimes the breadwinner is involved, sometimes your loved one is involved. So how are you going to confront this reality? How are you going to face them when it happens? Not everybody is so good karma, so blessed. And in this world, these are very common things. Accidents happen every moment, every instant in this world. And you can read them in the media, in the papers. The other part of this reality, the fifth reality, is relationship failure can also lead to separation. When there is a married couple who wants to go for divorce proceeding, or those unmarried also not free from it, when your boyfriend or girlfriend decided to terminate the relationship. So what happened? When you are the victim, when you are afflicted, when you are jilted, what will happen to the individual? The mind state, most of them, they suffer tremendously. They couldn't accept that reality. The thoughts start to project. And there is so much fear, so much insecurity, so much unhappiness, until from love it becomes hatred. then it can go into insomnia, depression, everything. Then the whole of the family unit get destroyed. The whole of the peace and the harmony get affected. And those who have relationship with them also are affected, their children, their in-laws, their parents, their good friends and brothers, they are also afflicted. Just because of some selfish individual who decide to do it. So this reality can be very, very traumatic. Then the sixth one is, the Buddha said, when you live life, you encounter different type of people. Not everybody is so friendly, like your Dhamma friends and those who are very, what they call, strict with their religious cultivation. You tend to encounter different people, and most of these people are selfish. Some are very violent. Some are very deluded. Some have all the three. So when you meet this type of people, the Buddha said, not easy to be with. When you are with people whom you don't like, is it? Life can be miserable. Is it? So this one we heard before. Isn't it? Especially in the career field, when you go out to work for people. Because you need to work, you need the salary. You have to confront your superior, your bosses. And some of your superior and bosses are not easy to deal with. They go by what they call management technique. They are very, very funny. They say management by harassment and fear. They harass you to deliver, then they put fear into you. They give you a deadline, they threaten you. That's why a lot of young graduates nowadays, or younger generation people, they cannot take the pressure. Some of them, they just run away. Some of them, they break down. They commit suicide. Some went into depression. There are many cases. It's only not reported. Most of them are not reported. But I have parents and friends who come and see me and talk to me and told me all their story and their problem. And they are really serious problem, I tell you, very, very serious. Until the parent also give up. A lot of them, the parent really don't know what to do. Because of karma. So there are a lot of things that is happening in the world. The next one is this type of what they call people whom you don't like. Even the school, the kids, they are not free from it. You heard of bullies and all those things, gangsterism and all those things. So when you are with people whom you don't like, it's very difficult. Then like in-laws, step-parents, some of them are subject to child abuse. These are situations where this sixth reality comes about when you are with people whom you don't like. Then you even hear of within the career field sexual harassment and all those things. People take advantage of their position, their authority, and life can be pretty miserable. So these are the life reality that you have to confront. Then when you go into meeting, or you go into what they call like Chinese New Year gathering, when you have your reunion, sometimes you may have argument and misunderstanding with your relative or loved one. Then when you go back, instead of having a happy reunion, happy occasion, your mind state is so badly affected just because you perceive them as what it is or what they are because of some happening earlier on. You don't know how to make it up. You don't know how to ask for forgiveness. You don't know how to apologize. You don't know how to be sincere. That's why without this understanding, all this will happen. And that is life. Then the Buddha said the worst one is the seventh one. When things don't go your way. When your expectations are not met. When you cannot get what you want. We are human beings with a lot of craving, a lot of selfishness. Our thought project a lot. So the worst part is when the thought project in a deluded way. They always think in such a funny way that they expect their loved ones to love them. Then even among brother and sister, they expect their brothers or sister to love them. Then sometimes they become jealous, they say. They tend to be more friendly to friends than to them. Oh. Then they complain. Then in the work environment also, you expect yourself to be promoted. You think you're very good, you have already worked so hard, you sacrifice so much to you, like you deserve this promotion or this pay rise. Then all of a sudden the news come out. You not only don't get a promotion, don't even have a pay rise, instead another colleague got it. So can you confront such life reality and situation? Most people can't. They become very frustrated, very unhappy. And this is what suffering is all about. Negative mental state, when things don't go your way, when your expectations are not met, when you cannot get what you want. Sometimes you work very hard, expect to be successful, but it just, your karma is like that. Something not right. Things keep on getting wrong or go wrong until your life becomes so messy. Like everything is not right with you, your life. But you never reflect and you never contemplate. How come other people are like so blessed, so lucky, so fortunate? Everything like go their way. What is their secret? So if you're deluded, you think feng shui, you go and spend more money on feng shui. Then you get your pocket bigger hole. Then you end up worse. Then you curse yourself. You hate yourself. It's nothing to do with feng shui. And the easiest formula is this Four Noble Truths, the Buddha said. Where you understand life reality comes about because he said there is one right view that you must have. That's why you must understand life. He said, when you live life, when you go through life, he said, there is this nature's law that governs your life. You must understand this law is very powerful. Is it? The most important one is the spiritual law on law of karma. He said, each and every living being, without exception, whether you are a human being, an animal, or a demon, a deva, or a demon, or even hungry ghost, you are all born of your karma. Is it? Here to your karma. Conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. You cannot blame anybody else for your life condition and situation, for whatever that you go through. It has a lot to do with your karma, not feng shui, nothing like that. So when you understand this nature's law that governs life and existence, what must you do? You must develop clear understanding of this law. If karma plays such a great role in my life, I am born of it, here to it, conditioned and supported by it. I am what I am because of it. What must I do? You have to take care of karma. Karma. How to take care of karma? Follow the advice of the Buddha. Avoid all evil, do good. Then you purify your mind to develop wisdom so that when the first noble truth reality hit, you are not affected. Without this, your life is miserable, I tell you. There is no guarantee that you can have happy life. You can be very successful in life, in the mundane aspect, or what they call within the conditioned world. Most of us look forward to what? Financial freedom. Financially, you think if you can have the means, you will have good life. You equate happiness of life to the amount of money you have. But there are a lot of rich and wealthy people who are not happy with life. And they have more fear and worry when they have too much money. Because when you don't understand life, all this will happen. When you lack money, also a problem. Too much money, also a problem. So life is to be understood. law of karma, the Buddha said, is a nature's law, like Newton's law. That one is physical law, third law. To every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. You heard of Newton's third law, isn't it? That's why when you bounce a ball against the wall, if the wall is very, very solid, have high coefficient of restitution, then your ball is very, very, what they call, very good ball, that can give you the type of response. So you hit. The harder you hit, the harder is the rebound. So in the spiritual field, the law of karma also same. The Buddha said, you reap what you sow. Do good begets good. Do evil begets evil. So when we understand this law, we will know if we commit evil, karmically, the friction of it, when we come, we will experience back the evil that we do to people. But if you have goodness, kindness, wholesomeness, like rejoicing, everything, then these are the good karma that you will inherit. That's why you will reap what you sow. When you come to this world, people will rejoice for you, and you will have that joy and happiness that you give to people. So that's why all this beautiful mind state, you will inherit them, and you will have more and more of them. And you will have less and less of the negative suffering because you don't commit them anymore. You don't cause suffering to living being. You don't arise all the unnecessary evil roots that will condition you to be very evil, that can bring about suffering and downfall to living beings. So this law of karma become like suddenly very clear. Then you come to understand, how can I avoid evil? What did the Buddha advise? That's why when we start our puja, you remember, just now? We pay homage, we take refuge, triple gem, then we renew our precepts, the five precepts, to abstain from killing or causing harm to fellow beings, to abstain from stealing or misappropriating things that don't belong to you, or deceiving people, then to abstain from committing sexual misconduct, then to abstain from telling lies, arising the four types of wrong speeches. The last one is to abstain from partaking intoxicant or drugs, or things that can make your consciousness very low. So these are the five basic minimum precepts that living beings must give. Because the Buddha knew those who violate this precept, they have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. They are called the three evil roots, greed, hatred, and delusion. And when you have that in your heart, it will make you evil. An evil person will violate the karma, do a lot of wrong things. That's why you will fall. So greed means all of your selfishness, all of your lust, all of your craving, your desire, your covetousness, they are all part of greed. Then all of your anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, unhappiness is part of the evil roots of hatred, anger. Then delusion is not understanding. That's why you have fear, you have worry, you have anxiety. Then you get trapped in sorrow and lamentation. And these are delusion, not understanding. Lack of wisdom. So to avoid all evil, you have to keep your precept. And to keep your precept, the Buddha said, you have to train your mind to be ever mindful, so that you can be mindful of your mental intention behind every action, speech, and thought process that you arise. And the mental intention that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, you can only see them when you have trained your mind to be mindful, to be heedful. That's why we come here to meditate, to train our mind. And the advantages of meditation is a lot. when you come and train your mind to develop this quality of mindfulness, or what they call heedfulness, your mind state become very different. Even the immediate byproduct of it, like what you went through just now, as you train your mind to be quiet, peaceful, and silent, it doesn't think like before. It's not heedless anymore. It doesn't entangle itself anymore. So when you train, the mind become more and more peaceful, more and more quiet. So the first advantage is inner peace, leading to that calm state of mind. Then when you radiate love and metta, there is no negative thought of unhappiness, fear, worry, anxiety. That metta is love, well-being. That's why from inner peace, it will lead to inner well-being. And this will bring about a lot of positive effect on your health, because all of the fear, worry, anxiety, these are very negative energy field that can cause your immune system to go down. So if you want to recuperate from your low immune system or a tired day after being heedless for too long, you should meditate. Train your mind to be peaceful and calm, to have inner peace and inner well-being. Then there is clarity of mind for you to rest and recuperate. And this positive energy of inner well-being will bring forth the positive energy for you to improve your immune system. Then when there is clarity of mind, the fourth advantage is you will be able to see things as they are clearly, and you can make better decisions in life because there is clarity. You're no longer so confused. Just like in daily life, you are very, what they call, worrying about life. You have a lot of problems, then you worry. You develop a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, anxiousness. This type of mind is very restless, understand? There is no clarity, there is no peace. And that type of mind cannot understand. But if you train your mind to be peaceful, to be aware, to have this type of clarity, then you can ask yourself, what are my options? How can I move? How can I overcome all this? Because there is clarity. But instead, you project your thought and allow the fear to manifest, and you become miserable over it. There is no clarity. You are caught in your own delusion. You are caught in your own thoughts projection. That's why you think and think and think until you become so miserable, like a cocoon of thought you are caught inside. Then you enter depression. That's psychiatrist. You want to hear a joke or not? Otherwise too serious. I read about this from a classmate. He sent me this joke, but it turned out to be a good Dhamma joke. He said, there was an incident in, I think in the Western society. This guy had problem. He drink a lot and all those things. Then one day he got fear. The fear was so intense, he couldn't sleep. Because he felt like there's something below the bed. Like there's a ghost, I don't know, disturbing him all the while. So he checked with some friend. The friend said, there's one psychiatrist, very good, he said, number one in the market. So they gave him the address, so he went and see him, consulted him. The psychiatrist checked. He said, no problem. Your case, very simple. Then he asked the psychiatrist, what you mean? Very simple. Come and see me 3 times a week, he said. Then I will explain everything to you, give you the medication, and you will be okay in a year's time. This guy is an accountant, no? He said, in that case, every time I visit you, how much? Oh, he said, very cheap. Basic charges £80. Medication and all those things, hypnotism, all separate, he said. Oh, on the average, per trip, how much? Depend, is it? Sometimes £200, £300, it depends. Or is it £300? One week, three times, 900 pounds. One month, how much? Then 1 year, how much? Well, he said, that bill make him think. He said, wait. He said, I don't think I want to do that. He said, I want to seek second opinion. Then after about a week or two, this psychiatrist met this guy in the pub. No? In one of the pub, happy, you know, drinking and having fun. No? Then he bought a new car, no? A new SUV. You know? So this psychiatrist was very curious. No? This guy got so much problem. How come suddenly become so different? He went and talked to him. He said, you remember me? No? Then the guy said, oh, you are the psychiatrist. He said, I remember you. He said, oh, you are very good. He said, because of you, I got the answer. He said, but he said, how do you get the answer? You mean you no need to see psychiatry, you came out with? Yeah, the bartender helped me. You know how the bartender helped him? No? He was having this drink until he was so sorrowful, so unhappy. You know the story? No. Get drunk doesn't help him. He was so sorrowful and drink until, like he tell the bartender all the story. He said, "Ayo, I got big problem now. I can't sleep because of that ghost." So then I went and see this top-notch psychiatrist. He told me so much. It's going to cost me so much. My lifestyle is going to be very different. You know what the bartender said? "Ah, yeah, I can solve your problem for you. You order one more jug, I give you free." You know what the solution was? He said, you go home, you go and get a chainsaw, saw away all the leg of your bed. Then no devil, no ghost, nothing underneath there. You will sleep very well with the beer. And he really suddenly like awakened. Oh, that is the solution. So simple. Yet it only cost me a jug of beer. He said, that's why I got the surplus money, the 1 year bill. I buy this SUV down payment. The psychiatrist look at you. This is a good Dhamma lesson. Because if you become so gullible, you go and see the psychiatrist. Please, don't get me wrong. Psychiatrist does help people who need help. Understand? Because otherwise, psychiatrist is no business. But you must make sure that you can get permanent solution. Well, most of these are temporary fix. But during depression, severe depression, they can be of initial help. Because they know how to give you medication, they know how to advise you, they know. Some good psychiatrists are very good, very good. You have to give them credit. But what is important is, just like the Buddha Dhamma is free, understand? No need to pay money, and no need medication, no need to be like, because you take this medication, it's like drug, no? You become dependent. Understand? This one, understanding, free you. So I haven't finished the fourth Noble Truth. I just told you the first Noble Truth. And so now I continue. The Buddha said, all of this suffering that you are going through, just now I only stopped at seven. The eighth reality is meditation. So that one I just summarized. The Buddha said, in short, it is due to your delusion that condition you to attach and cling to this so-called human being. Human being, you got a physical body, then you got a mind trapped inside. And the Buddha said this mind can feel. There is an aggregate of feeling. It can perceive. Then it can think. It can become emotional. Then it can become conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So these four aggregates of feeling, perception, activity of mind and consciousness together with the physical body, he said, the human being is, you can translate this human being into the five aggregates of form and mind. That's why the green book that I issue out to you, who are you, what are you? That five aggregates of form and mind is understanding what this human being is all about. Is this you? If this is not you, this so-called human being, the form in mind, then who are you? What are you? That's why meditation will allow you to understand that. So the Buddha said, in short, he summarized. He said, all of your suffering come from your delusion that cling, grabs, and attach to this physical body and mind, thinking that they are you. That is the wrong view. Sakaya ditti, self-delusion. If you can break free from that, you will awaken. You will have no more problem. So this first noble truth, the final summary, is very important. So you have to inquire deep. Why did the Buddha say that? And how can I understand? To understand, I must probe further. What is this so-called five aggregate of form and mind that the Buddha talked about? Then you check your own body and mind. Whether true or not what the Buddha say. You have a physical body. This is a physical form. First aspect. Then you have a mind that can feel, perceive. Oh, you say true. Can agree. Then the second aspect is every moment of consciousness when you arise a thought. He said that one also, mental, five aggregate. That one, the form is not the physical form. It's the external form that you bring into mind through your mental perception. So when you know that final summary, the Buddha said, all of suffering, there is a cause behind. And the cause behind is your delusion that conditions you to grasp and cling, to arise the craving, the attachment, the grasping to all this so-called form and mind. And the form and mind is not only you, no, your physical form. All of external form, they are also form. Like when you perceive your loved one, your wealth, your possession, your friend, your enemy, all these are form. When you attach to all these form, suffering will arise. Even your school, your company, your what they call career, your reputation, everything that you believe you own. Yeah. So the teaching is very profound. That's why you have to meditate to understand. Then the Buddha said, your thought, they are not real. They are condition arising, causal phenomena. They come and they go because of condition. That everything that make you miserable, if you trace back, is only your thought. It's only a thought. How come it has such great power to make you so miserable and unhappy? Who gave it power? Through your own delusion, when you believe your thought without understanding, without wisdom. That's how thought has power to delude and condition you into misery. So attachment, born of wrong view, self-delusion or ignorance, is very, very powerful. So the secret of life is to understand clearly who are you, what are you, and the universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self within all phenomena. Not only the form and mind phenomena, all of nature's phenomena, all of physical phenomena, all of nature's phenomena and mental phenomena, physical, mental, and nature's phenomena. So the cause of arising or suffering is the second noble truth, the Buddha said. There is a cause behind all of your suffering. So this is the secret of life. I know what suffering is and I know the cause behind. I can manage my life better. I can reverse it. Because I know the cause. So I only have to continue to diligently cultivate to understand further. So the Buddha explained the third noble truth. Excuse me. Any space or not? No more space. Okay. Never mind. It's okay. I leave it first. Because the third and fourth noble truth, no need to explain so much. The Buddha said, these first two noble truths will allow you to understand life clearly and have the understanding to manage your life, but you don't have the wisdom yet. You can only manage up to a certain level based on your rational understanding and thinking. And this is mundane understanding, not the supramundane. You remember when I started? The Four Noble Truths explained to you the whole of life, all of the mundane and supramundane aspect. The supramundane is in the third and fourth noble truth. The Buddha said, if you cultivate this teaching and develop the understanding of it, you will awaken. You will have the spiritual understanding, wisdom to liberate your mind and be free. And the third noble truth is very simple, the Buddha said. Suffering born of the first noble truth need not be easy. In this world, you don't have to go through suffering, is it? If you can develop the wisdom, that's why there is no such thing as life is suffering. Otherwise, there is no third and fourth noble truth. Third noble truth, the Buddha expound and proclaim very clearly, is it? There is a noble truth that explains to you clearly, suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana, is it, can be realized. And this is not a temporary end of suffering. No? This is the complete cessation of suffering. No? Means the moment you understand and awaken, from that moment onward, no more suffering. No more unhappiness. No more delusion. No more fear. No more worry. No more anxiety. And you become beautiful. Yeah. So this third noble truth is so beautiful. It gives you hope. It gives you confidence. It makes you look at life differently. If suffering need not be, then my life will be so beautiful. That's not so different. Then I can just live life. Don't have to worry about life. True or not? You can live life to the fullest. You can come to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life, yet no need to worry about life. You can use this physical body, yet you don't have to worry about you getting old, getting sick and die, because you know clearly through the meditation that this is only element, form, not you. No reality, karmically conditioned out for you to use. Then this consciousness, which is the mind, is also conditionalizing, byproduct of another nature behind. When you start to understand all this through the meditation, then you realize both the form and mind, they got no reality, they are empty. Because they are conditionalizing, they come and they go, impermanent, following nature's law. If you want things your way, if you go against all this reality, you cannot accept the reality of the moment, you cannot see the characteristic clearly, then you become deluded. Through ignorance, you grasp and cling and hold, believing that this is what you are. That's why when this body, you grasp at it, you will worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. You remember when the Buddha decided to renounce the world, left the palace, gave up all the beautiful things that the Father has prepared for him to seek the answer to life. He saw four signs. Remember? What are the four signs he saw? He saw a very old man, a very sick man, and a dead man. Then the last one is a Samana, who is a spiritual holy man. The first three, when he saw, he realized he got problem in life. Because the attendant told him, this is a very old man. The old man is so weak, so fragile, and so useless. He said, what do you mean by old man? He said, each and every one of us, if we live long enough, this physical body will go this way, become very haggard, very fragile. The senses start to fail you, and you start to develop a lot of disease, sickness, and all those things. And you become miserable when you old. The problem of aging. Then he said, I got a problem. Means all this happiness that the father, the king, has given him has got no meaning. But end of the day, he cannot overcome this problem of getting old. Then he saw the diseased man, so sick, so diseased. The attendant say, everybody's body go this way when you got injury, problem, and all those things, and sickness, then die. Finally, you cannot escape death, and he cannot understand what is death. That's why he decided to renounce the world, to seek an answer to life, to understand what old age, sickness, and death is all about, and how to be free of it. Then when he meditated and connect, then he realized the answer, that this form and mind, the five aggregate, is not him. That's why no more problem. And this one great that go the way of nature, the physical body, it gets old, it gets sick and die. The mind also, condition arising, no reality. If you deludedly grasp and cling, it will bring about suffering to the mind. So through this understanding, you will also come to understand through cessation, the third noble truth, that there is another nature within that is unborn, the eternal life. Because it's unborn, it never get old, it never get sick, and it never die. Then you realize this eternal nature is beautiful. And you can realize that nature in the here and the now before you die. No need to be like certain religion. They promise you after death only you can confirm whether you are there or not. This one, while you are still alive, you can realize the enlightenment. You can bear witness to that eternal life. You can realize that Nibbana. The form and mind that realize cease. That's why there is nothing inside that. That's why it's the unconditioned. So this is the beauty of the teaching. So when you can understand that the noble truth is so beautiful, but he didn't stop there. He not only tell you it can be done, no, he even teach you how to do. He said there is a fourth noble truth that explains clearly to you how this can be done. He said there is a path that leads to the enlightenment, to the end of all suffering. Namely, just the Noble Eightfold Path. He said if you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. And this is the meditation. This is the one after you train your mind to be mindful, to be heedful. You come out into daily life and put this Noble Eightfold Path into practice or cultivation. Then when you awaken, you will be the most beautiful living being ever to be born. You will be very blessed, no more suffering. Life is just beautiful, meaningful. Like Jasmine, free and floating. Hey, serious, I'm not joking, you ask her. She was in severe depression just not long ago. Now you look at her recently, the last 1 year plus, so happy. She like can tell you from hell she came back. Suicidal tendency many times, and she told us all this. I leave it to her whether she want to share with you. But the Dhamma helped her a lot. That's why she was very grateful to Mimi, who brought her to join the class and all the same. In fact, she got no Dhamma knowledge when she got into this first noble truth reality entanglement. It was really miserable, suicidal. So this is really something that can liberate living being. And many Kanyanamita has actually benefited and recovered from their very severe first noble truth reality. Then there are some who have the parami, the past. No need to come because of suffering. You come because your heart wants to search. You have the condition from the past that motivate you to actually search for this. Like earlier on, you saw Christine, he wrote, this has been the teaching that she has been searching for very long, but nobody can share with her until lately, a few years back. And she became so happy, so much joy. And her life just changed overnight. Oh, you are the classmate, you should know her condition, isn't it? How she became like that? Nothing. Dhamma. She never come and consult me like a doctor, no.
My auntie should stay here. 46.
Oh, okay. Oh!
46. She told me.
Weilan, is it? No. Not Weilan.
I think Weilan is also the same. We know.
Yeah, you know, her sister's case.
I think they are the kaki here.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I was here. I stayed with her before, actually.
Okay.
Married. So when I came, last week I work in my office up to 8:30.
Okay.
So she asked me to come. And I say, wait, I'll come. Oh, yeah, but yeah. No promises.
Yeah.
But he always never come.
Yeah.
So I left my phone in my office.
Oh.
I forgot the address.
Oh, okay.
So I know it's a S71E.
Oh, okay.
I thought it's 105.
Oh.
So I searched for
105. 117, yeah.
I cannot find 105. Oh, 116.
Yeah, yeah.
But I did not ring my auntie's house.
Oh, okay.
It's 105.
Oh, then how did you come?
Now, this week,
oh.
I make sure I look at the email.
Oh, the email. Oh, okay. Okay,
she
okay. Sadu.
You have no heart.
Oh, okay, okay.
So I said, actually, I came around.
Yeah, yeah.
I asked around, where is 105? I cannot find odd number.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think the world is very small.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's meant to be.
Yeah.
Like the Buddha said, everything is conditionalizing. When the condition is not right, when situation is not conducive, it will not happen. That's why you can get the address wrong, 105 instead of 116. But because of your good karma, that's why you make sure this week you get it right. You check the email again. Then you came on your own, is it?
When I came over, it was very dark.
Oh,
so
yeah,
this,
yeah.
No, my auntie always told me, because my auntie
not so safe,
the husband in Indonesia.
Yeah, correct.
She said, don't come
not
here.
So safe.
Because every time I come, he said, quick. There's a lot of robberies happening.
Snatchy.
So
yeah.
I drive around, I say, where is this place? So dark and really dark.
Yeah.
So I was like,
no street light.
Go off. Yeah. So I really drove off.
Oh.
So I came and looked, and then I drove
you
off.
You drove off.
So, but this week, I make sure I got
help. Oh, okay, very good. So that's how you managed to make it.
Actually, I don't know, but I came to hear your preaching. His mom's.
Oh, yeah. The funeral, huh? Oh, you were there at the wake, huh?
Yeah, because I always hear about you.
Oh, okay.
But the master.
Yeah.
You know who is the master?
Yeah.
So much.
Okay.
Precious.
Oh,
right,
okay.
Precious. That's why we used to call. So
yeah. So you see the big difference in her.
During the first week when her husband passed away, I was pregnant 5 months.
Oh, pregnant.
So me and my classmate.
Consoling her.
Like a banquet, console her.
Yeah.
So we act like we have got a lot of wisdom. And we don't know what we're talking. So after eventually, like 5 years, her.
Yeah.
So me and my classmates, sometimes we get together and we start to listen.
Yeah.
He's talking. So why is he talking? Stop.
She tried to share with you her understanding.
And I realized
when
I came over this is my first
lesson
with you.
Yeah.
Then I say, where she get the word deluded?
Yeah.
Delusion?
Because university student cannot be deluded.
Because I know. English is
not so
very
good.
Weak.
Very weak one, I know.
She
want
to find a job. Yeah. She said, you cannot find a job.
Yeah.
But your English is terrible.
Yeah. Because when she was at me, I know her English is not good.
But
she tried her best.
I think lately,
she's improved a lot.
She improved a lot. That's why I say when I talk to her, I say, this is how she learned.
And not only you, the family members see the big change in her. Complete change. And there was so much joy, and the vibration became so good because she followed what I advised her. She played the Amitabha chanting. And the mother, the last 1 year plus, when she brought her over, there was so much love. The mother can feel. The mother don't want to go back to the other side. And the mother was so happy before she passed away. You saw her?
Actually, I called her in transport. She needs someone to pick her up because her car is broke down.
So
I say, okay, I'll come over. He said, no need anything. I said, don't talk. I'll come over. So I drove over and I saw the mom.
Yeah.
I saw the mom. That was on Saturday, I think. Saturday. So she told the mom, I stay with my mother-in-law for 20 years.
Yeah.
She said, I got 20 years. 12. Longer is better. I say you liar. So we just want to make the old lady. I saw her on Saturday. I say the mom was very happy.
Yeah, a lot
and
of
Monday,
joy.
She texts me her mother is gone.
Yeah.
So it was very shocked.
And very peaceful because she went with us, with the sister, to this way place, a Meishan in China. She bought the beads for the mother. And the mother was wearing it. We heard the mother have faith. She was listening to the chanting, Pure Land. That's why she very sure the mom is already in Pure Land because of the affinity and all those things. Because the mind, when it has joy, happiness, and understanding, when you have faith, it connects to Amitabha's vow. And when they have strong faith, Amitabha's vow will manifest through nature's law. Amitabha don't have to be there.
I saw her on Saturday.
Sadhu,
her mom was very happy to see me.
Yeah.
Actually, I hardly know her mom.
Old people, they have a lot of joy when they see, especially your daughter's friend. Because people appreciate, even my mother, she appreciate when my classmate come and visit me. Because old ladies like that, they see your friend come, they're very happy. Because these are true friends who visit you. Not only when they need something, they visit you. These are people who really, really are close family friends. Then, like your case, as a classmate, you tell her, no need to say no. I will just come because you're a classmate. And that is the sincere heart that expresses itself. And people can feel, you are not sincere and you will give reason. Oh, you have got a meeting. Sorry, otherwise I sure come. This type of word you heard quite often. But when people are very sincere, they will do something. They say, okay, you give me half an hour. I will try to sort things out. Then I will come over. You wait for me. This is what people will do. So there are a lot of advantages to have good friends. Understand? What she did, she helped. In future, when she need help, help will come. This is what karma is all about. You reap what you sow. But if you are selfish, you neglect, next time, when it comes to your turn, emergency, nobody will help you, I tell you. Because this is what you did to people. And the karmic conditioning will manifest. That's why, wherever you can, if you can really help, you should help. That is the advice of the Buddha. Avoid all evil. Do good or wholesomeness. If there is condition to help, you try your best to help. But this will become your inheritance. And what you do to people come back to you through your karma, good or bad. We just 10:30. We can end. Thank you so much for all the sharing. Especially Christina, friend. We really welcome you. And we are very happy to have you here to join us. In the sharing. Thank you. Sadhu. Sadhu. So normally what we do is, end of the session, we have what we call a closing puja. Closing puja is what, you make full use of all your understanding, your wholesomeness, your merits that you have cultivated over the last 2 hours or so. You share them with all the devas. Then you transfer them to all your departed relatives and those who can receive them. Then you invoke the power of this merit for your spiritual journey so that you can have the causes and conditions to avoid the foolish, made up with the wise and the enlightened ones, so that you also can excel in the spiritual path. Then you can also invoke the blessing for the nation. So all these are very wholesome. So now I will read to you. Then I will also chant the thing in Pali. Then I will explain the English translation. Okay, maybe for the benefit of Christina's friend, I will just explain a bit. You all can recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed and cultivated over the past 2 hours or so. We came and do the pre-puja, we pay respect, we develop the faith, the spiritual faculty, sadha, virya, then we pay respect mindfully. Then we take refuge, we renew our precepts, Then we rejoice with all the offering and wholesomeness. All these are very meritorious. Then we start to develop the meditation. Then we listen to the Dhamma, we straighten our view. Then we rejoice again. Then after that, we will do the closing puja where we will share merit, transfer merits, and invoke the power of merits for wholesomeness. So all these are very, very conducive for our spiritual journey, for our cultivation. So we should rejoice. We rejoice one more time by saying, Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, now we will share merits with the devas. Akasatta ca bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice and may contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed relatives and those who can receive them. Idang me nyatina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to all departed relatives and those who can receive them, and may they all too be well and happy always. We will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo asatu kalena sasa sampati heto cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Now you invoke the power of merits to make aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Keep your respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, to develop your faith and mindfulness.
It's a cool song. So the next round will be on March the 5th. And, yeah, but no choice because we are still in the classes. So the next class will be March the 5th.